Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. 4 years ago this week, I told my congregation that I had started planning my sermon for this Sunday 2 or 3 weeks previously. I knew then that it didn't much matter who won our presidential election. Our country was going to be hurting, unlike anything any of us had ever experienced before. Fast forward to today, and I feel much the same. Our country is hurting, and it looks like we will continue to hurt for a very long season. During my time of thoughtful preparation for today's sermon, words and words and more words just kept rattling around in my head. And I have pages and pages of notes that I've written down. Quotes from a wide variety of people within the church, within the world at large. Things like a poem by Bob Dylan from the 1960s. The times, they are a-changin'. There are verses from hymns and canticles and psalms, like this one: dark and cheerless is the morn unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return till thy mercy beams I see, till they inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Those words matter to me. Without my God being center and foremost in my vision and in my life, it's too easy for darkness to take up residence in my very soul. And I think if I've learned nothing else in the past 18 to 24 months of this election cycle, it's simply this: that words matter. Words matter. The level of public discourse in this nation seems to have hit rock bottom. Words do matter. In the days after the 2016 election, swastikas were painted on buildings along with the phrase "Sieg Heil 2016. And several times since then, there have been attacks on synagogues and mosques and churches. At that time, the mental health crises lines were overloaded with calls. And some of what people were upset about then has come to fruition in the years since that election. And it reminds me once again that words matter. There are words that were used throughout that election season and this one that I would never expect to hear in any of your homes. You yourselves would be mortified and shocked to hear them in public. Words matter. Words. They can bestow a soothing blessing, or they can pack a punch that would be difficult, if not impossible, to recover from. Words matter. For every negative word that you speak to another, or you speak about another, it will take 6 or more sincerely positive words just to begin to repair the damage. Words matter. When I was a child, we used to repeat this saying: sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's a lie. We knew it then and we know it now. It's a lie, because words matter. Words like moron and idiot, jerk, stupid, retard, dago, Polack, spick, nigger. You're fat. You're ugly. You'll never amount to anything, loser. Words matter and they can hurt like hell. Words matter because they can also be a blessing. In one of our canticles, the words of Isaiah tell us how God thinks about words. For as rain and snow fall from the heavens and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread for eating, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I have purposed and prosper in that for which I sent it. Words matter. They hold the seeds of life. They hold the curse of death. Words matter. As a young adult, I became vibrantly aware of the power of the words I myself spoke. People would tell me how comforted they felt, how my words helped them to heal, how my words had stopped them from going down a wrong path. I became quite aware of the power that is in words, and I've tried to choose my words quite carefully and not to use them flippantly. As a person called to be a priest, I try to be as careful as I can be with my choice of words always. One of my greatest joys is to be able to bless you in God's name, or with great deliberation, to pronounce absolution for your sins. There's such power in those words, such power. And sometimes it's as if I can actually feel that power going through me directly to you. Words matter. We Christians are people who tell stories, the stories of who we are as people of God, stories of creation, Exodus, exile, and return. Stories of people of faith, like Abraham and Sarah, Moses, David, the prophets. Stories of God leading us through good times and bad, chastising us when necessary, always providing what is good, waiting for our answer, which is to love God and to love those around us. We tell stories of Emmanuel, God with us, not God who visits us for a moment, but God with us, and our redemption in Christ. That's a story of promise. These are the words that matter so much because they show us who we are in God and where we came from. Words do indeed matter. Think of your favorite prayer or scripture verse. Those words matter. They inspire you. They bless you. They encourage you. And they assure you of God's presence in your life. But words are not the only things that matter, for we know from our scriptures that words are meant to incite us to action. Words are not simply meant to beat the air. We know this because we believe it from our Gospels. In the opening words of St. John's Gospel, we hear this: "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words matter because Christ, the living Word of God, matters. God's own Word took as his mission statement the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Words matter, and the actions they urge us toward matter even more. These words appeared in the beginning of St. Luke's gospel, and they were meant not just to be Jesus' own call to action, but to set up an example for us to follow, to reach out to the poor, to release captives from bonds of injustice and hate, to bring truth to those who are blinded by biases and lies, and in every way we can think of to proclaim that no one is exempt from the Lord's favor. Jesus will demonstrate over and over and over again that these are not just words to be heard, but words to be acted upon. From St. Matthew's Gospel this morning, we hear that parable about the bridegroom. The bridegroom who seeks those who have been paying attention to his words and who have taken the meaning of those words to heart. Those who follow him into the banquet are those who are already active, already waiting for direction, and are prepared to enter into that work that will bring God's kingdom to fruition as best they can. When we think of the banquet in that light, it's not seen as just some wonderful reward, but maybe they're led into a banquet where they will receive even more gifts to be able to work in the kingdom. And maybe the five who were not quite ready yet might later become ready and also be let in at that time. Words matter. And words that awaken our hearts and our minds and our souls for the work of the kingdom, those words matter even more. In our first reading, we see that Joshua was chosen to lead the people of God into the promised land. And toward the end of his life, he saw that the tribes of Israel were ready to settle in. Before he died, he spoke to them quite clearly. He reminded them of who they were and where they had come from and what the Lord God had done for them. And they acknowledged it. They acknowledged it and promised to serve the Lord their God. He said, "Then this is what it means. Put away the foreign gods among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And they said back, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." And Joshua made a covenant with the people, and he made statutes and ordinances so that they would be able to follow the way that they had just promised. Now we are God's Christian people. We too have heard God's word. And in baptism, we have acknowledged who we are and where we have come from and what the Lord our God has done for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I remind you too that at the time of baptism, we did something else We renounced Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. We renounced the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. We renounced all sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. There's so much healing that needs to be done in our community and in the world. And we can start by remembering first what we have renounced and what we have acknowledged as being good and helpful. And by being very conscious of choosing our words carefully and well. These words are the words by which we can live. The words by which we must live. We need to remember them well in the coming days. These words matter to us, to our children, to our community, and to our world. We forget them at our peril, for words do indeed matter.